Messi right outside of the box. Lino with a move. Shot! Goal! Lionel Messi with an incredible outside of the box shot!
For 1 month, the game takes over the planet. Nations collide. Heroes emerge. Legends are made. Every goal echoes around the globe. From the biggest stars to the next generation of icons, the chase for soccer's ultimate prize is underway. Welcome to Extra Time with Mike Rizzo.
Leo with a shot and a goal!
Brought to you by Yuengling, Tri-Rail, and Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
I'm going to have Damien. I need you to, can you look up the song? Hold on here. Folks, welcome on in. Extra Time, Mike Rizzo, Damien Perez.
Is it Wonderwall?
We're home of the Inner Miami Radio Network. We're home.
No, it can't be Wonderwall. No Wonderwall.
We're home of Lionel Messi. I'm in a boogie mood. I'm going to need you to throw on Boogie Oogie Oogie by A Taste of Honey. I'm going to need you to find that song on the computer because I'm ready to dance. I'm ready to boogie. I mean,
it's a clean song, right?
Come on, bro. Okay. My mother's disco songs from the 70s. Come on. Grew up in the car listening to it. We're gonna boogie, oogie, oogie till you just can't boogie no more. You're gonna know it the minute you hear it. We're boogieing because our goat, Lionel Messi, is on to the final. Argentina defeating England 2-1 in the semifinal game. And in the 85th minute, Argentina ties it up. In the 92nd minute, there were 9 minutes of extra time. We're able to get the go-ahead goal assisted by Lionel Messi. Messi has assisted both goals, rather, in the game. He assisted both goals in the game. And Damien and I, we're on opposite spectrums here. We're on opposite spectrums here. I'm going to have Damien get the song ready. One thing we're on the same page of, we're happy Messi went through. We're a taste of honey. A taste of honey. We're both Lionel Messi fans. We love Inter Miami. We're through the moon that Messi is through. But I do have a soft spot for my lads on the other side of the pond. I like the England team. I like their players. I like the national team. England is an ally of the United States. I'm not one of those people and Americans who actively root against England. But I cannot listen to people saying today and after that game that it wasn't Thomas Tuchel's fault. Yeah, bring it in, Damien. Put it on right now, please. Thank you. Here we go. Oh, man. This is back when, this is back when they knew how to make music, Damien Perez. Oh, man. Boogie Oogie Oogie by A Taste of Honey. Where I famously used, my mother was a disco queen. My father was a DJ. That's how they met. This is my party song, all right? I know we don't, Damien, in Peoria, when the Bears would win, I would do something called Victory Monday. If the Bears would win, we'd be boogieing on the air. We are boogieing for Lionel Messi today. Damien, he is the inevitable. He is the absolute inevitable. I mean, 85th minute. Dead in the water. Elias and I looked at each other and said, the dream's over. We both said, 82nd, 83, we go, dream's over. Jordan Pickford on his head, save after save. I go, how long is England going to survive this onslaught? I could not believe that they had no will to go forward. Because we're going to boogie, oogie, oogie till we just can't boogie no more. Boogie no more. Damien, you are going to choose the side of defending Thomas Tuchel.
No, today. I'm not defending
now,
Tuchel.
Now, listen, folks.
I think it was absolutely astonishing that they parked the bus for 70 minutes.
I personally think Argentina is the inevitable. They were always going to win that game because they're the team of destiny. I can't sit here and listen to conspiracy theories. They're getting all the calls. Infantino. Have they had a favorable whistle? Probably. I remind everybody, Kansas City Chiefs had favorable whistles. The Shaq team that three-peated had Kobe had favorable whistles. Golden State, the Cavaliers, LeBron James. Come on. Like, yes, There are going to be some favorable. They didn't win because of the referee today, Damian.
They won because England choked.
They won because Lionel Messi is the greatest player of all time and had two amazing. Enzo Fernandez, give him credit. He started it with the goal.
That's my man of the match. Enzo Fernandez was absolutely lights out, not just for the goals, but I mean, everything he did in this match. It was just absolutely one of the best games I've ever seen Enzo Fernandez play.
But, like, the bigger issue that England fans, and Damien, you're down on a specific radio station that operates out of Britain that I absolutely love. It's called Talk Sport. My guys, Jason Cundy and Jamie O'Hara.
Oh,
has anybody seen England? Has anybody seen
so
Jude
much.
Bellingham? Jude Bellingham. Wah, 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 with the duck in the background.
There was so much bulletin board material for Argentina. If you just went on their Twitter page or if you just listened to their podcast, I mean, why would you talk that much smack about the champions, Argentina, right before the game? Does England need that added pressure?
Now, Damien, give us some context here. Explain what, you know, they were doing and what you had a big issue with.
I mean, for example, one of the ones I remember, they brought up a starting lineup. They brought up the England starting lineup and the Argentina starting lineup. They were omitting players like Emi Martinez, Enzo Fernandez. I mean, obviously, they had Messi in there. Actually, no, one of them didn't have Messi in there. He chose Kane over Messi. It's just things like that.
Can I say some? Those are proper English lads who are defending.
It's delusion.
I love it. I love a delusional England fan. I do. And Damien, I can confirm at 6:06 Eastern time on July the 15th, England is going to have to wait another 4 years until it could possibly come home.
Not coming home.
Oh, it's amazing. Damien, I could get drunk on the
delusion. Could have came home on U.S. soil, too.
I could get drunk on the delusion of an England fan. They are truly one of a kind. And listen, they lost that game because of their manager. They lost because of Thomas Tuchel.
It's inevitable. We talk about Lionel Messi and Argentina being inevitable. What we saw from England is literally in their DNA. They've been doing this for so long. They make it to semifinals in Europe. They make it to semifinals of World Cups. And they choke it away. This is in their DNA.
Now, when it comes to England, I agree with you. They've been very unlucky. The Hand of God game, this game, the Qatar World Cup where they didn't make it out of the round of eight. I don't think it's in their DNA, Damien. I think you're being a little bit unfair. This is a team that has been in European finals.
Did we watch the same game?
Dame.
They died. They were dead. They were dead.
I understand that England expectations, they got to start winning World Cups. The 1966 thing is honestly a troll at this point for that fan base. I mean, that in my eyes, that was a success. I know England fan doesn't want to hear this. That was a successful World Cup. That was a success. They beat Norway. They won in Mexico at the Azteca when they looked absolutely indigent. They won at the Death Star, for God's sake.
Mike, this was the World Cup. Kane is how old now? How old is Kane going to be in the next World Cup?
Damien, they're going to have another Harry Kane. This is England. This is England, mate.
Who's next up?
They're going to have, I can't tell you at this point, they're going to have somebody.
I mean, Bellingham
they
is there.
Always
I think
do.
Bellingham is the next guy in England, but you can't compare what Bellingham gives you to what Kane gives you. It's two different players.
They're going to need to find a true number 10. I understand that. I remind you, it's England. They got to, you want to know who they're going to have
what's
coming?
England, though?
Do you want
what have they won?
Do you want to know who they're going to have? Not to get too into the weeds, there's a Manchester United player, our youth academy player, who won the Youth Academy Player of the Year. Gabriel something. I'm at everyone's mercy. I'm honestly a phony for not remembering his name for playing for Manchester United, going to be playing for us soon. He's English. Like, they have young players. Bukayo Saka was playing on one ankle. He was injured the entire tournament. They have young players. They're going to be fine. This was a successful World Cup.
Why did you bring Saka? You left out Palmer because he wasn't fit.
Do you want to know why?
Saka.
The sad part is Saka on one leg is probably better than everybody available.
Not from what we saw in this World Cup.
I don't know, man. I think he played good enough to be on the field at this point. I really do. The problems for me with England, I know Spence had a fine game. I thought fullback was an issue for them. I thought they could have used a Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Spence was one of their best players today.
But you are right. They should have brought Palmer and Foden. And I mean, listen, Dan Byrne, you're seriously going to bring Dan Byrne? And I know Gordon had the goal. You give Gordon credit. Like, keeping Phil Foden at home, though. Like Palmer,
bring in Bukayo Saka. Palmer wouldn't even used.
You bring Saka though. I don't think Saka is the one that probably deserves a like.
He couldn't even play in the most important match. Respect
Eberechi, Eze. Like I probably would have brought Palmer over Eze. Like
I thought Eze should have came in this game.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, the fact that Damian, you cannot defend Tuchel for bringing on.
But at
Dan
that point, it's too late. It didn't matter bringing
Damian.
In Dan
you
Byrne.
Need a goal. You're bringing on a 33-year-old right. that can't move.
But the idea of Dan Byrne is not for him to play center back. It's to stick him up front. He's Dude. The tallest guy on the field. It's for him to get a ball in
that
the air.
Brother
at
was,
that point, is desperation.
That brother was never. You and I both know that brother was never scoring a goal. That was a troll job by Thomas Tuchel for 20. Damian for 25 minutes. Listen. Let's see. The first 20 minutes of the second half was a bit more of the same. KG, you know, exchanging of possession. The final 25 plus extra time of that game, England was on their back heels defending for their life. If it wasn't for Jordan Pickford, Argentina should have scored 5 goals in 25 minutes. Pickford was playing inspired, screaming at his defenders to figure it out. And I go back to the manager.
Who wanted it
go
more, though?
Go forward.
But I guess you can blame the manager,
Damian,
and I agree. 70 minutes of parking the bus, that's excessive. But did you really
see? England.
Did you really see that the players on the field had that fire underneath them? Did you really see that they wanted it? I mean, this was a clear-cut case
Bellingham
of Argentina
did.
Wanting it
Bellingham
more.
Bellingham did.
I don't know.
Bellingham
think,
did.
I think everyone on that field, it was just
I think that's unfair. I think that's unfair to say, Dame. I just, like, you had no, and the listen, the fact of the matter is the manager is the one that's getting
blamed.
It
was blamed. Do or die the for one team on that field, and that's Argentina.
The manager is the one that is going to get blamed for that, for everything you're saying. It is if what you're saying, if you think that's true, you blame the manager. If you don't think there was fire to see that through in the final 25 minutes of the game, you got to blame the gaffer for that.
It was 1-0 in the 84th minute. I'll say it again. I agree with Tuchel's tactics were wrong in this game, especially, like I said,
final
25
minutes
so
was shocking.
But you hold on for those 15 or the last, 10 minutes of the match, 84th minute, 1-0. You hold on, especially, yes, I get it. They tied, but you can't give up that second goal the way they did it. Lautaro Martinez was wide open in the back post. That's concentration by the defense.
Yeah, they bottled it, bro. They bottled it. 888-760-3776 is that number if you want to get into the program. Let's do our moment of the day presented by Tri-Rail.
The world is coming to South Florida for the biggest month in international soccer, and Tri-Rail is your ticket to the action. Let's go on Tri-Rail. Plan your ride at TriRailWorldCup.com.
How can it be Lionel Messi's 2-assist effort and seeing Argentina through? Our moment of the day presented by Tri-Rail. Folks, weekend rates $5. And our moment of the day is Argentina, Lionel Messi and company going on through again, scoring 2 goals in the 85 and beyond in the game. I mean, Colin and I, we talked about it on Russo and Rizzo, the Egypt game, this game, Cape Verde. I mean, guys, the dying embers of the game is where Argentina is king. And that's why they're inevitable. I do want to get back on track, though, with England, because you say it's in their DNA to lose. Explain.
I mean, it's what we saw. I'll say it again. Did you really see that there was one team that wanted it more than the other? And
I don't agree there. Pickford was trying firing
Pickford
guys
was
up.
Great.
Bellingham was firing
Spence
guys
was
up.
Great.
I disagree with they didn't want it. They wanted it.
I don't know.
The issue is
they obviously wanted it.
Damian,
I'm not saying they didn't
Damian,
want it.
They were I saw them outside of the box one time before the final minute and a half of the game when Ismail Elfath, MLS referee, would not blow the whistle to end the game.
Which was unreal.
I mean, my God, they played another 3.5 minutes almost. But an MLS referee, you'd think he'd know the assignment for Lionel Messi, for God's sakes. But to take my bias aside for wanting Argentina and Messi to go through, they were never serious about having the ball. That is on the manager. That is on the manager. I can understand and hear you about the DNA stuff. When I hear you say that, it's more so about England not winning a big time, rather the big time, the FIFA World Cup since 1966. I get all that. I do. But this is a team that is always in the thick of it in the competition. It's like when you compare, and it's almost damn near impossible to compare because England is in a much better spot than the United States. Damien, we would have been thrilled to bits to go to the Final Four. We'd be thrilled to bits to be, like, it's just not good enough.
Different timeline, though.
And it's not good enough for English standards. I know England fans don't want to hear this. This was an incredible tournament. This was an incredible tournament for these people. To win at the Azteca, to beat Holland. Did they have a favorable whistle? Fine, whatever. They won the game. This was a success. And now listen, I want to bring him in, 888-760-3776. I got Carter in Atlanta. Now, Carter is English, but he's first off, Carter lives in Atlanta, and he's a proud American. Second off, he is an English-American. He has family that live across the pond. Carter, are you upset about the result? Do you blame Thomas Tuchel for sitting back for 25 minutes and having no serious will to go forward? Where are you at after the game?
Mike, you're spot on. It's one of those sporting events that I've now watched. And the second they scored that goal, we left where we were watching, the second goal, because it was done. And it makes me not want to watch sports anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous. England has no one to blame but themselves. Already spoke with the family. They have no one to blame but themselves. How you make those changes starting about 70th minute and play for a 1-0 result is beside me. It didn't matter. Once you knew a goal was coming, whether they play forward or play back, you knew a goal was coming. So you have, in my opinion, you have to keep a side on that's going to create something. That's going to, then go and play in extra time. That's then going to potentially create another goal. Because whether Argentina had scored that second goal in whatever it was, 90 plus two, they were going to win no matter what in extra time. England was never getting to PKs. I mean, I can't believe it. I cannot believe that he sat behind the ball, made those changes, put in Burns, and just thought they were going to win 1-0. It was never going to happen.
Dan Byrne coming on the field in the 82nd minute. He put on Nico O'Reilly and Dan Byrne in the 82nd minute to go get a goal. Two defenders. It took him until 90-plus extra time to finally put on Ivan Toney and Marcus Rashford, two attackers. Malpractice by Thomas Tuchel. Now, Carter, do you sack Tuchel? Do you get rid of this Tuchel experiment?
I mean, I can't say I'm involved enough in that to then even where you go from there. I mean, I thought for the most part that he did a pretty good job. The other thing that I want to say, too, is I, as a Chelsea fan, and I don't watch every single game. I'm not going to act like I know everything about the club. I've never seen Enzo play like this. I've never seen him have a strike like that. I mean, it's so infuriating to be then cheering against them and watch him just demolish your team. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insane. And as you mentioned, too, it should have been like 5-1 if it wasn't for Pickford. I mean, they were never going to win that game. But, yeah, I mean, as far as the coach, I don't know, or manager, I don't know where you go from here. I thought he did well for the most part. But then, like you said, you start questioning, well, he probably should have brought Palmer. He probably should have brought Foden. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you go from here.
I just, Carter, Dan Byrne and Nico O'Reilly in the 82nd minute. Mate. I appreciate the call, Carter. Last thing, partner, are you going to be rooting for Argentina or are you going to be rooting for Spain, or do you not even care? You're not even going to watch?
I told you, I'm done with sports. I'm turning it off, not watching. No, I probably Spain.
Now, Carter's my guy from Atlanta. Is Acuna, how's the rehab assignment going? Am I going to see Ronald in a Braves uniform this weekend, Carter? Have you heard anything on this?
Well, I know he went back to assignment, but I thought when he first went out, I thought it was only, I think we're on the phone about it. I thought Weiss said that they weren't considering IL, and then now he's been out for a month. I
mean, more than a month.
And we need somebody back. Yeah. So I actually haven't read up too much on it. They're struggling right now, but we need him back in the worst way and to get some juice moving forward.
All right, Carter. Appreciate the call. That's our good mate, Carter in Atlanta, English American, going through it. 888-760-3776. I am at the mercy of you guys. Byrne came on in the 82nd, by the way, before the first goal. So he brought on Byrne, and they immediately, he brings on Byrne and O'Reilly to go full defensive, and they immediately concede. Yeah. That's what they're mad about.
That was definitely a substitution to hold on. They were trying to hold on for dear life at that point.
It is broadcast malpractice to sit here and say he brought him on for a goal. What we cannot get on Tuchel for, Damian, it took 5 minutes to bring on two more attackers, though, after the second goal. I don't know, man. Listen, we're splitting hairs here. I personally think Tuchel got it wrong. I know that English fans don't want to hear really anything other than, you know, Damian. I think Damian hit the nail on the head in the sense of they're used to this. England fans are used to this. They're used to blowing close games. And Damian, they're used to not going through when push comes to shove. I think what hurts the most for England fans is that they were arguably 10 minutes away from going through. Now, 9 minutes of extra time is crazy. Do you think the game deserved that? 9 minutes is pretty nuts.
I think it was also because they scored two goals late. The celebrations were long. So at that point, it kind of got extended. I don't think it would have gone 9 minutes if it was just, 1-1 or 1-0 at that. So I think it had a lot to do with the goals being so late. But I don't know. I'm not trying to defend Tuchel. I understand his tactics were very poor. I even questioned why he switched the lineup to begin with. I thought Nico Reilly had a great tournament. He pulled them in the last game versus Argentina, although Spence had a great game. So maybe he hit it on that one. But I don't know. At some point, it's like, yes, the tactics weren't wrong by Tuchel, but they've been playing like that the entire tournament. You almost start to wonder if the players kind of got really satisfied after that Norway game and completely forgot they were playing Argentina in the World Cup champions.
I know it's a cop out. I know it sounds like I'm being pro player. I didn't sense that they didn't want it. Those players wanted it.
Who played good today, though?
Pickford, Bellingham.
Bellingham.
Keane.
Bellingham had a good game.
I thought he had a good game.
I don't remember a moment where Bellingham really did anything at that.
But to be fair, the game was cagey.
Messi mentioned him like three times.
Messi didn't have a good game till the 85th
minute.
But
he showed up when it mattered. The two goals were off Messi's foot.
I get it.
Enzo had a great game. It was a cagey, tight game, but Enzo showed up.
If they went forward, if they had any will of going forward the final 25 minutes of the game, I think it's a different
result. Paredes, which they pulled, I thought Paredes was having a great game. I was surprised they pulled him.
Now, my friends who were pulling for Argentina, a.k.a. me and my friend Brian, Nico Gonzalez, we got on that substitution a bit. I would have wanted a Nico Paz. I understand he's an unproven commodity at this point. Lionel Scaloni wanted to go with experience, and
they're high on Nico Gonzalez in Argentina. Yeah. If you ask any Argentine, they'll say nothing but great things about Nico
Gonzalez.
And
listen, it turned out to be the right move. I thought he played brilliant. I thought all the substitutions. Scaloni cannot make a bad move right now. You ever seen the meme of the guy playing the piano and it being on fire around him? That is Lionel Scaloni at
this
moment.
He's the orchestra. He's just conducting that orchestra perfectly. But what did you think about Rodrigo De Paul getting benched today?
I thought De Paul has actually had a pretty good World Cup. I don't know why at this point you would bench him. He did have a couple of bad turnovers when he did end up coming on, Damian. But with De Paul, I think it's give and take. I see De Paul make the greatest pass I've seen in months and years. I always say this on Inter Miami, Damian. DePaul have a horrific turnover that'll lead to a goal, but you'll forget about it because he'll have an unreal pass or have an unreal service into the box. You know what I mean? He's that kind of player. He's a roller coaster kind of player. I don't know. I thought it was odd at this moment in time.
And the change was for Simeone, which I thought was, you know, he didn't really impact the game as much. It actually, matter of fact, the game kind of flip-flopped once Rodrigo De Paul and all those other subs came out, including Nico Gonzalez.
Even when Paredes came off the field too, the butcher, Lisandro Martinez came off in the 72nd minute as well. Like I said, man, dude,
Scaloni, he nailed it.
It's the meme of the guy on the piano and everything lighting up. And literally, that is Lionel
Scaloni.
He
brought in Lautaro Martinez in the 81st, which ended up scoring the game-winning goal.
Did you ever watch those weird Christmas movies with the clay dolls? The Heat Miser, yeah. Mr. Free, I think, you know, Mr. Below Zero. The Mr. Below Zero is Thomas Tuchel. I mean, God, man. If they had any will to have the football and to push forward, they're playing in a World Cup final. I'm not complaining, though, because as I mentioned, I'm boogieing because Lionel Messi, our GOAT, is there. But I'll listen to an English fan today complain to Kingdom Come. I will. I'll listen to it today. I think it's all fair.
I'm here for the tears, man.
You can't stand England, though.
I just don't like how they acted leading up to this. I said England would win yesterday.
I like that Argentina is bailing out CONMEBOL for you. I'm happy for you.
You don't got to bail anybody out.
CONMEBOL was shocking this start. Granted,
yeah, but
this is coming from CONCACAF. All right, I'm a loser.
CONMEBOL is bigger than Europe in international trophies. Let's count them.
European.
Count them. Go ahead.
Fine. Right now, it's European soccer.
No, it's not. Right
outside
now,
of Argentina.
Right now, it's not. The current champion
outside
is
of
from where?
It's why I said.
From where?
I am happy. Damien, I am happy. That I am happy that my GOAT.
What happens if Argentina goes back to back? Is this still European?
I am happy that my GOAT Lionel Messi is able to bail out CONMEBOL. Brazil, round of 16, shocking exit. Uruguayo, Damien, I'm going to let you off the hook there and not explain what happened there.
There was no team in this tournament that played Spain better than Uruguay.
Stop it. Colombia, you never were scoring a goal. Colombia, shocking. Go ahead.
I just said it. I mean, Uruguay played Spain the best. We can potentially have lost to the World Cup champion.
I am surprised you're not ready to burn the Federation down. Damien,
did you see Diego Forlán's the new head coach?
I like that.
I love it. Here for it.
One of the best, 2010, 2014 World Cup? One was it, Brazil?
I mean, one of the best players in general.
Listen, I like my former United players, even though, Fergie, binned him very, very quickly. I'm all here for Forlán. What I'm trying to say is, Damien, CONMEBOL acts like they're this giant,
They don't act. They are.
They have one team.
No, they don't.
They're lucky
Brazil
that
has five World Cups.
Listen, I get told I'm living in the past all the time from
Brazil's
my fandoms.
Brazil's won in 2002.
Brazil has, for Brazil's standards,
They've won in the 21st century.
I love the Brazil team, for the record. Ronaldinho, I mean, those guys are gods, okay? They haven't been at it. Listen.
You're dead wrong for saying CONMEBOL is one team. Dead wrong. I bet a lot of these European teams wouldn't even make the World Cup if they had to qualify in CONMEBOL.
For the last 15 years, they've been a one-team race.
Dead wrong.
I want to give Brazil credit because I love Neymar. I do. I actually like Brazil a lot. They're not what they used to be. And right now in CONMEBOL, do you have questions once Lionel Messi retires?
Questions about what? Just like competing
against
Europe?
Going forward, Brazil's going to get worse. Colombia's going to get worse. Who is the savior for Uruguayo? Ugarte? Come on, mate. I'm not too nice. That's why I'm asking you. I'm not plugged in. I don't know young. I know the young. Dame, I know I'm firing you up, and it was meant to be a lighthearted joke, honest to God. But I look at the European sides, I look at the CONMEBOL sides. Outside of Italy, Italy's going nowhere fast. Everyone else, I mean, Spain, they're set up for years. Spain is set up for years. Norway is set up for years with Haaland and their young core. I know they're going to lose Marty Odegaard. But you get the point.
Norway goes as far as Haaland takes them. Let's be honest here. And they were also benefit of being the sweetheart of the tournament. I think once there's a little bit of pressure on Norway, things could change.
Dude, they have always been the team that folded. I cannot believe they had the World Cup.
I mean,
I cannot believe they had the World Cup that they did, to be honest. Germany's in the doghouse. Italy's in the doghouse. Outside of that, the big giant. France, I mean, I know they choked it away, brother. But look at it. Give me another team. Outside of Argentina. Right now, Dame, listen, I understand. Brazil, Uruguay, most World Cups. Love it. I'd rather have CONMEBOL win than Europe. Yeah. Honest to God. But
Brazil is still one of the best. I know they didn't have a good World Cup, but you're dead wrong if you think Brazil won't be back.
I can't defend Brazil anymore. I can't.
So you think Brazil's done? You think it's no longer one of the best
teams
in the
world? Give me young players of substance that outside of Vinicius Jr. that are going to do something on the roster. 888-760-3776. Damien, outside of Vinicius Jr., what, you're going to go to bat for Endrick?
I mean, Ryan is 19. Endrick is 18. This was a young generation. Yes, they had players like Casemiro.
Your whole back, dude, Danilo. You had a 38-year-old Danilo. Bremer, Alisson.
I just think
they're losing a lot.
Brazil was also a victim of feeling the pressure of having to bring Neymar to this tournament.
You got to take a timeout. We're coming right back on ESPN 106.3.
Welcome back to Extra Time with Mike Rizzo. Brought to you by Yuengling, Tri-Rail, and Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Welcome on back to Extra Time. We are celebrating as our GOAT, Lionel Messi, is on to the World Cup final. They will be facing off against Spain. And obviously, the final winner or go home. I should say there's a third-place game. Dame, where you at? Third-place game, waste of time. I don't need a third-place game, being honest. Very American of me. I tend not
when you see how much the federations win for making that third-place match.
Money?
Yes,
money?
Absolutely.
I think England has no... I don't think they're going to have a will in the world to play in that third place game.
The players, yeah. I mean,
they don't care.
They're going to have to rotate some players that maybe didn't get a lot of time in this tournament. I could see playing in that third place match, but it matters. It matters. There's an incentive of winning that game.
Like, I think Mbappe, Kane, Bellingham, the big stars, like they're sick to their stomach that they're unable to be there. 888-760-3776 is the number to call into the program. You know, are you for Lionel Messi? Are you upset about England? We heard Carter in Atlanta, English American, was very upset that his lads were unable to pull it through. Do you blame Thomas Tuchel? Everywhere I look, England fans complaining for the final 25 minutes of the game, how England sat back, never had a will to go forward. I think against a team like Argentina, guys, you can't do that. You can't expect to defend for 35 minutes against Lionel Messi, Enzo Fernandez, Lautaro Martinez, Rodriguez. You can't expect to get a result. You can't expect to get a result. Now, is this Matt in Jupiter? And he wants a United States men's national team question. Am I right on this? Now, Matty, I finally just got over my team crashing out against Belgium. What's your question, partner, on the United States?
Well, I have a two-parter. Has this World Cup been a net positive or a negative for the men's national team? You know, I've played. You know, I was an all-star in high school and all this. I know the game, but I'm not a world football fan.
Okay,
like you got.
Yeah. So partner, let me answer if it was a positive or not. I absolutely think it was a positive. You battered Paraguay 4-1 in that opening match. You outscored your total goal total from the last World Cup. We only scored 3 goals total in the Qatar World Cup. We matched that number in the first half and beat that in the game. You won the group. The United States hadn't won the group since 2014. You have young players. You have veteran players. And coming up in 2030, the United States is going to have a mix of 31-year-olds and 25 and under. I think it was a tremendous success. I hope that Maurizio Pochettino sticks around. I can't sadly predict the future on that, Matty, but it stinks because you're judged on the knockout stage, and we failed. We completely failed in that knockout stage game. Matt Freese had the worst howler in goal. I've never seen a goalkeeper do that at a professional level. I've been calling soccer and watching soccer for the better half of 10 years and watching for 25. I've never seen that before. Tim Ream getting bodied on the back stick, and the lad's not clearing the ball on the first goal. And you know, Malik Tillman, who is 23 years old. He's going to be 27. The next time this World Cup comes around. I know it's a long-winded answer, Matty, but for the first time in our federation's history, I think in the next World Cup, you're going to have 11 players who are actually great players playing in Europe. So that's the answer to the first one. Absolute net positive.
Well, I agree with you on that. I played, so you know, I know. I understand a game like that.
Yeah.
I'm not a serious fan, though, worldwide. But I had, like, 5 of my buddies hanging out in the garage drinking beer, watching every game, and not even when the U.S. was playing. So it did bring it back. You know, you questioned at one point about losing casual. No, it did bring that in. And Malik Tillman, geez, that dude had himself a couple games there.
Yep.
Great. But my follow-up question was, as far as watching England, has England... We're going to cross lines with American football. Has England become the Penn State of world football?
Yeah.
Or the Dallas Cowboys.
God,
well, I'm a Cowboys fan too.
Maddie, it's hard.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
Of course. Maddie, it did. By the way, that was Damien who brought up the Cowboys. Maddie, it's hard for me. I guess it is the Cowboys, but like the Cowboys won in the 90s. England hasn't won since 66. Right.
I say the Cowboys because that brand is just so big and the media is just so behind them.
Yeah.
Similar to how they are with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. Matt, here's the thing. England fans won't want to hear this. This was a tremendously successful World Cup for England. They got back to the final four teams. They won at the Azteca. They beat Erling Haaland and the big juggernaut Norway. I think outside of the last 25 minutes of the second half, Thomas Tuchel looked like the right answer at the manager spot. England is similar to an Ohio State or a big-time college football program. If you're not going to get a result, you're probably not going to be there. And Tuchel isn't...
Nobody wants to talk about Ohio State, Mike.
Yeah, here we go. Hang on.
Ohio State! No one cares.
I'll give you Evan.
Penn State is a good shout, though.
But, bro, Penn State...
A lot of expectations. I mean,
Penn State, my pushback with Penn State, England makes finals. They make semifinals. Penn State has made the college football playoff, what, once? Once, and they played nobody and went to a final.
More recent.
England beats good teams, and they're always there. I don't necessarily have a comparison for them outside of the Cowboys, but just because of the brand and the badge. Maddie, I appreciate the call. Do me a favor. Tell the casuals, tell your mates that you're drinking beer with and watching the lads in the garage. Listen, we still got a long way to go, and I hope that this World Cup will keep them locked in coming up this September when we're going to have qualification matches in CONCACAF again. Maddie, I want you tuned into the CONCACAF matches and the World Cup qualifications in September. Can you do that for me?
We've all agreed, me and my buddies, that this sport's a good watch, so we're going to be there, bro.
Thank you, Maddie. Appreciate the call. That was Maddie and Jupiter chiming on in with us on Extra Time. I need more fans. I need more people getting bought in. And Damien, that's why I was so... Remember, I apologize. Colin thought it was hysterical. I said, I feel like the loss... I feel responsible for the loss because I sold everybody on the U.S. team. I sold everybody that this is the best team we had. We have a real chance against Belgium. I thought that the Flo Balogun thing with President Trump getting him to play, I thought we were going to be able to rally around that. I felt like an idiot when we lost 4-1. I felt like an absolute idiot.
I don't feel like USA was ready to be the villain, and that's kind of what happened. I feel like hindsight... I don't think the red card situation worked in their favor.
Well, Balogun talked about it. He said it was a distraction. You know, there was an article on ESPN.com.
They were ready.
And he thought, like me, that they were going to be able to rally around it. It made him nervous. And listen, guys, take the politics out of it. To be honest, guys, I don't care about politics. I really don't. I do not care. I do not care who you root for, who you vote for. I couldn't care less. I'm not a politics guy. All I know is I applauded Trump for that, for getting him to play. Was it the wrong move, hindsight 2020? Maybe. But at the time, I thought it was the right move, and it was never a red card. I still stand ground on that. Like I said, spare me the political stuff. I do not care. I do not care what side of the leaf you fall
on. I think what made it worse, not to really keep talking about this, but what made it worse is that the red card didn't even get rescinded. It's literally suspended.
Right.
So it's still a red card, but he's just going to serve it in a year.
Mr. CONCACAF over here is going to be reminding everybody on what's going on with the U.S. team and qualifications, who will be locked into every kick of the football because I love my lads. It'll probably be for one of the CONCACAF games. We'll probably have to start Brendan Aaronson, and my God, I'm going to have
against Antigua or something.
Damien, the fact that, and my mates and I talked about this, why is Brendan Aaronson so bad in that jersey? He's actually good. I think he played for Leeds. He scored against United this year. I watched him score against my favorite club team outside of Inter Miami, Manchester United.
I mean, right. To that point, Timothy Weah.
My favorite European team is Manchester. I am a diehard man. Manchester United, a bunch of bouncy bussies. They deserve to be knighted. I mean, guys.
By the way, I got your Manchester United boy. It's Joseph Junior Andreo. Goes by JJ.
When you're traveling to the town, take a trip to that football ground. Take a lesson, you will say. Football taught by Matt Busby. I mean, guys, I had to watch Brendan Aaronson, United States striker, score for Leeds against United. I texted my mates. I said, guys, is this fine? He had the worst. Damien, I think him, Miles Robinson, and Mark McKenzie could have had the three worst performances I've ever seen in my life in that Turkey A game. Remember when Pulley Goat, or sorry, I'm not allowed to call him that anymore.
We got to put that arrest until further notice.
According to you. I had to watch Pulley Goat put a ball into the middle. Aronson, with an absolute sitter, didn't even put it on target. So, yes, long-winded short answer. Balogun is probably going
to
be suspended
Mike,
for a CONCACAF game.
Back to the semifinals,
and I'm going to have to watch Aronson.
Which, out of the two games, which one were you most surprised with? Was it the performance from France or the crumble by England?
It's definitely the France not showing up. France didn't get off the bus. That's insane, dude. And gosh, you think, dude, the Lace Blues fans are losing their mind. Losing their mind that they didn't even score a goal against Spain. And you know that's the third time that they lost to Spain?
Yeah, and third
that's
time
third
in a row.
That's the third straight time.
In major tournament. Second in a semifinal.
Excuse me, guys. Been on air for 5 hours. Got a lot of burps coming out. Three straight times is what I meant to say that they lost to Spain.
And
that
second semifinal in a row.
Do you know the meme of Foghorn Leghorn, you know, slapping the butt of the dog outside of the barn? That's literally what Spain has done. Like, the belt to you know what? The Foghorn Leghorn meme.
Did you see it was before the France game. It was the night before. They had Lamine Yamal had a press conference, and they asked him just that. Which team should be feeling more pressure? And his answer was France, because they lost the last two games.
And I give Yamal credit. He didn't play well. He didn't play well in the game. I give him credit for drawing the pen. I still don't think he played well.
I think he
that speaks volumes to France.
He played well against France. He just didn't score or assist, but it was one of his better games in the tournament.
If that's a bad game for Yamal, you know, fair play to him, but I expected more. And I think the ones you got to look at is Didier Deschamps in France and the attack. Well, I know he's done, but Damien, I blame him a lot for that. I told you yesterday.
You can't blame the coach.
I mean,
you look at this France team. You got Mbappe, Dembele, Olis. I know you didn't like the Barcola
side. He started Barcola, and he started Tchouaméni.
Barcola started in three games in this World Cup.
But why change the best lineup you have?
No, I mean,
the best lineup you had wasn't Barcola and Tchouaméni.
We've been talking about how this France team is stacked top to bottom, on the bench, reserves. I mean, every player that comes in could start for another team, this, that, and the third. Now we're talking about the coach. No.
It didn't. I think it ruined all the momentum. It ruined all their
We got to give Spain credit in that match. Their defense was unbelievable, and France just didn't show up.
It's their midfield, bro. It's not even their defense. It's their midfield.
I mean, Kubacic's pretty good. Kubacic's pretty good.
Whatever, man. I'm down.
Cucurella is a pretty
down
good.
On, I'm down
they got,
on
they got
Spain.
A good
I'm, not,
back
I'm
line.
Not a Spain guy. I got to be honest. I'm down on
They've
Spain.
They've allowed one goal in the entire tournament.
I'm rooting very hard for Argentina. I'm sick of Spain. I'm sick of seeing them. I liked the golden generation in 2010. That was fun. I don't need this. I don't need them winning every European tournament.
You got me rooting for Argentina after what you said earlier, by the way. The disrespect on the CONMEBOL.
Dame, I'm sorry, mate. CONMEBOL is not in a good spot right now.
No, but the last two World Cups are potentially from where? The CONMEBOL. So I don't know how you're saying that right now.
And listen, Argentina is going to be good. I don't know if they're going to be a powerhouse without Lionel Messi anymore. And I'm assuming that the great one is going to stop playing. Who knows? Maybe you see a 43-year-old Messi.
The last, I will say that about that, the last two games Argentina played, Messi didn't have quote unquote his best game, and I think that team actually showed up in spite of him, including Enzo Fernandez.
Guy,
I mean, he's
two,
been great.
Dame, guy had two assists.
Yeah, but that was in the last 5 minutes in the game. Would you say Messi was really present in that entire match? Like, from what we expect from Messi?
To be fair, I think it was a cagey game.
Yeah.
I think it was
definitely
a cagey
was.
Game. England was,
and I think
England
he was the
was
focus.
Digging in.
He was the focus of their defense, for sure. But Messi always finds a way, despite of that.
Tinkle got it all wrong, mate. I'm long overdue for a timeout. Our last segment in your injury report, presented by Leto Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fromrath, coming up next. Extra Time on ESPN 106.3.
Welcome back to Extra Time with Mike Rizzo. Brought to you by Yuengling, Tri-Rail, and Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Our injury report is presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. folks for over 40 years, Little Rider Smith, Ivy, and Fromrath have been serving injured people and their families. If you know somebody who has been injured, tell them to go to foryourrights.com. Go see what Little Rider Smith, Ivy, and Fromrath can do for you. They have been protecting, like I said, 40 years, families in South Florida for over 40 years. Little Rider Smith, Ivy, and Fromrath. Now, Damian, injury report. Your early injury report for Spain and Argentina. I got nobody on the list, folks. I got one more game. How about this? England and their fans are on the Little Rider Smith, Ivy, and Fromrath injury report with a broken heart. Damian, again, can you imagine? You know how crazy England fans are. Like, I'm going to go home. First off, I got to train. I got to go run outside. By the way, dude, what is up with the bugs? What was up with the bugs yesterday?
Brutal.
Damian.
Every time after it rains.
I went and worked. I trained. I ran 4 miles yesterday. And what I do when I'm done running, like I said, I go into my apartment gym and I walk on the treadmill to cool my heart rate down, the whole thing. By the way, girl had an Iniesta jersey on. Gave her credit for
that.
She
knows ball.
But she tapped me on the side and she goes, dude. She said, dude, and pointed to my arm. Dude, I dead.
Mosquitoes breed in water. Dude. So they lay their eggs in water. So when it rains, it's like a.
I had
rising of mosquitoes.
I had dead gnats on my arms.
Oh, gnats.
Because, Dame, I wore, Dame, they were the little black ones. Tell me, are they mosquitoes? I don't know. Do I need to go see Doc Al?
No, not
mentally
mosquitoes.
Medical? Like, no, what's going mosquitoes. On here? Do I know, can you go see Doc Al?
You'd be welted up if those were mosquitoes.
No. But, Damien, they were gnats. And the girl, give her credit. She goes, hey, dude, you know, might want to go get a paper towel. She started dying laughing. And then we started talking about the golden generation and Iniesta. I almost asked her for her number, but remember, my heart is a stone right now.
You're retired at the moment.
I'm retired at the moment until I see another pretty girl walk by the glass here at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Dame, your reaction to the matchup, though, Spain and Argentina, this is everything we could have wanted, I think, in a World Cup final.
Yeah, I mean, this is the, I guess you can name it, the passing of the torch. The two teams, the two best teams in South America and Europe, I think, made it to the final. It's what we wanted to watch. This was actually supposed to be the finalissima, which is the Euro champion and the Copa America champion. But we're getting it in a World Cup final, so I'm very excited about that.
Yep, Spain, the winners of the Euros, and Argentina. Help me out, and they didn't win. Colombia won Copa.
No, Argentina
did.
Copa
they?
America.
Okay, yeah,
it
yeah.
It was
the final. Yep. I'm sorry, I get so confused.
Argentina, Colombia,
Damian,
the final.
I just remember your team fighting everybody in the stands
against Colombia.
Give them credit. Played with heart.
They were harassing their family members.
Do you want to try to defend CONMEBOL one more time before we wrap up here?
There's nothing to defend. After Sunday, we could potentially have back-to-back champions from where?
Listen.
You say it yourself.
Argentina, you want to know what CONMEBOL is right now? It's what the Big Ten was for years. They had one horse. No,
Argentina has lost one game at home this year.
Damian,
against who?
Damian, for 15.
Uruguay.
For 15 years, the Big Ten had Ohio State, and that was it. I had to hear about the SEC every now. Now look at what's going on. The Big Ten is a conference, so who knows? Maybe you're lucky.
Who's won five national championships in the Big Ten, though, other than Ohio State?
No one's thinking about Ohio State.
It's not just Ohio State in CONMEBOL. That's the thing. That was my point.
Well, now it. But what I'm saying is, for 15 years, it was.
You sounded like a casual.
Michigan was horrible. Indiana was quite literally the worst team in Division I football.
Sound like a casual, Mike.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Damian and I will be back at it tomorrow. This has been Extra Time on ESPN 106.3.